And now many retailers that had been with us for a long time shuttered a large number of stores last year, not to mention what happened in 2020. Just remembering some of the more recent casualties, Sears, Bed Bath & Beyond, Macy's, to name a few. How has the pandemic changed your shopping habits? What do you buy online versus what do you pick up in brick and mortar stores? 800-642-1234. Jerry O'Brien is Executive Director of the Kohl's Center for Retailing at UW-Madison School of Human Ecology. Jerry, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
It's nice to talk to you this morning, Kate.
Well, retail sales grew last year faster than online sales, and that's federal data there. Were you surprised that the brick and mortar stores did so well?
No, I don't think I was surprised. There was such a pent-up demand, not just for shopping, but just to get out and be with people. So as restrictions began to fade, it was actually probably the first nice step back to normalcy.
I would imagine, too, that made a big impact on these retailers that were so hungry to get traffic into their stores.
Oh, certainly. You know, having to close your store is not just bad for the retailer, but for their communities and certainly for their employees. A lot of retailers were just so anxious to, again, be able to serve the needs of everybody who counts on them.
Also, surprisingly, our country saw more chain stores open last year than close, and that was from CoreSight Research. Have physical stores figured out how to survive in these times of when we just click on the computer and buy it online?
Well, yeah, I think all retailers, all stores are trying to figure out how do I meet the consumer where they are? And that's changed dramatically and certainly accelerated. So there was already a move to more and more online sales, but the pandemic probably jumped us ahead 5 or 6 years. So retailers have been, you know, listening to customers and saying, what do you want? Changing assortments, meeting them where they want to be met.
What about that online to in-store marriage, if you will? How do you see the buy online, pick up in-store trend working out at this point in the retailer's toolbox?
Well, first off, I think it's here to stay. So if any retailers are thinking, whew, I'm glad I'm done with that, I would say that's a mistake. But how I see it is, again, kind of back to this assortment, acknowledging that you're going to have customers who do some of maybe their basic shopping online just to fill their needs. And, you know, if I look at grocery in particular, you might see someone who say, once a month, I'm going to get all my basics online, but I still like to go in and shop the deli and the bakery and look for the artisan cheeses. So their in-store trip might be less, but their online trip will be more. And the combination is not bad at all.
Along those lines, I think it was interesting, Jerry, that you saw Kohl's and Amazon partner up, Amazon putting their lockers at the front of Kohl's stores, Amazon returns, and you see the line there at that returns desk. What do you make of that move?
Well, the industry actually kind of howled. They were like letting the fox into the chicken coop, but as it turns out, it was pretty brilliant. Kohl's has historically got a customer that's a little bit on the older side of the population. And the Amazon shopper represented a demographic that they have been really working to attract. It gets them into the store. Often think, you know, you go to do a return, it's probably something you wanted that just didn't work out. Now Kohl's has a chance to sell that to you on the spot. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of parts of it, the convenience, reaching out to some new shoppers and actually increasing sales. It's worked out quite well.
So you think that type of marriage is kind of here to stay, where Amazon has a presence in Kohl's stores for now, at least?
Oh, I'm sure they're both going to look at the numbers themselves. I think it's worked out very well for Kohl's. At Amazon, I don't know how they're thinking about it, but it appears to be successful, so I wouldn't think it's going away.
Jerry O'Brien leads the Kohl's Center for Retailing at UW-Madison, has helmed this research and industry center for the past 14 years. Are there items that you'd never buy online? What trends have you noticed from online retailers? Do you feel loyal to your local mom-and-pop stores? How do you try to support them? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Jerry O'Brien here on the Ideas Network. We're trying to make sense of the ever-changing world of retailing here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Fast Company yesterday came out with four predictions on how brick-and-mortar stores will continue to evolve this year. Number one, retailers accept more types of payment. Prediction number two, should inflation continue or not? Those that deliver hyper-personalized experiences will thrive. Do you go to a store for the experience, whether it's comforting or personal attention or just being around people again? Do you own or work in a store? How are your sales doing? 800-642-1234. Jerry O'Brien directs the Kohl's Center for Retailing at UW-Madison with us for about 10 more minutes. So, you know, Jerry, we've heard it time and time again that locally owned businesses thrive on the personal touch, the personal shopping experience. Do you think that is still as true as ever?
Yes, to a point. I think it's also important that their product have a differentiation.
Okay.
So the experience is important, and you could include that part of the experience is knowing my customers well enough to provide them with an item that they are not apt to find elsewhere.
So what type of, how do you make sure you can deliver on that for a mom and pop store, a locally owned business? How do you work to try to compete there with what this vast marketplace provides online?
It's certainly more of a challenge with the online world where your customers are shopping well beyond the neighborhood that you're in. But having said that, there are an awful lot of producers out there that are not capable or have no desire to sell to the giants. So they're small batch producers. Also, there are items from large producers that are kind of on the fringes of their assortments that might fit your customer better than in a mass retailer, say Target, Walmart, Amazon.
So you really have to do your research to know what products you should offer locally.
I think that's the key to everything. Listening to customers. Customers determine what's on everybody's shelves, whether you're big or small. And you know, the idea that you could compete with some of these people that are buying, you know, 10 million of an item is probably unrealistic. So the idea is to have those items that you don't compete with them on.
Well, I've been keeping an eye on those storefronts and mm-hmm. the strip malls and the shopping malls. What are you seeing out there? What does it look like as you look at the real estate?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to own them all right now. Certainly, there is a lot more open retail space than there's been in quite a while. I think there's a good chance that that will bounce back. But, you know, in the face of actually having to close and not being listed as an essential part of the economy, these stores that close, particularly the smaller brands that didn't have the wherewithal to survive an extended period with no income while still trying to pay rent, perhaps in a strip mall or a mall, The question now is how strongly will consumers go back? There's certainly some stores we won't get back. They probably weren't that strong going into this, and this ended their existence.
So what brands do you think are built to thrive in an inflationary market?
Yeah, you know, to list brands would be difficult right now, but certainly we've seen some success in some Midwest brands. We've talked a little bit about Kohl's. They've done a lot of interesting things, you know, adding Sephora to them so to draw more traffic again. They've added a new athleisure brand. Certainly a lot of fashion retailers are realizing that formal work apparel is maybe not coming back, at least not very quickly, and have moved to the athleisure. Target has thrived during the pandemic. You know, certainly having groceries gave them a stability that allowed them to stay open. Their omni-channel is great. I just read last week they're going to consider doing drive-up returns and drive-up Starbucks coffee.
Oh, now you're talking.
There you go.
I want
a lot of people's attention.
I bet. Well, I want to pause here because on Target because you're former stomping grounds. But, you know, when you use the app in store and you look for deals or you scan barcodes for prices in your cart, that item you scan always shows you the price online, which often doesn't reflect the price on the shelf. And so when you get to checkout, you have to ask for the lower price. And sometimes, you know, that is a real mismatch, bumpy gray zone between online prices and in-store prices. What's going on there?
first off, I'm sure they'd like to get it fixed as quickly as they can, because this conversation does happen. You said my old stopping ground. It's been a long time since I've worked at Target, so I can't tell you exactly what's going on there.
What is it, like 06 or so?
Yeah, very good. But what I will tell you is, there's an effort to match prices locally. So you're trying to say, oh, one of my competitors down the street has this price, we should lower it. But that's not easy to do in a national price online. Mm-hmm. So there is some mixed match. Having said that, I'm sure these types of things we'll be able to figure out, particularly the idea that they know that you scanned it in the store. So if you're using one of their rewards programs, I think there's a way to match that up. Having said that, I'm not the tech genius that will fix it, but I would assume that it won't take long for it to get fixed.
Jerry O'Brien with us, Executive Director of the Kohl's Center for Retailing Excellence at UW-Madison's School of Human Ecology, as we look at retail trends, the bounce back that we've been tracking here in brick and mortar last year, and what the future holds for those stores in your strip malls, in your downtowns. 800-642-1234 to join in. How has the pandemic changed how you shop, and what do you buy online? What stores have you returned to, and do they feel and look the same, or have things changed? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Let's look more closely at Kohl's here. Kohl's Department Store has had a real turbulent run recently. Sales have been up and down in the pandemic, and even though it's increased its dividends, its stock price continues to lag. What do you think the chain can do to get more on a stable footing?
Well, I think the key to any retail chain is sales and profit. And I think they're doing a lot of right things. They're trying to predict the market right now with pandemics and the world issues that are going on right now, it is difficult. I think consumer confidence is a little bit shaken. There's an awful lot of people don't have confidence in retail in general right now. Like, mm-hmm. They think that the state of the industry is pretty poor. But if you look at, try and take care of your customers, which is the key for every retailer. Honestly, I don't see a lot of problems at Kohl's. Their sales are up. Their dividends are up. They've reduced inventory while increasing sales, which is kind of a nice sweet spot to be in. They appear to continue to invest in things that consumers want. So their checkouts are easier. The returns, we've talked about adding Sephora and Amazon and new brands. So I think they're doing a lot of things that are right for the market to recognize it. I think it's just going to have to be multiple quarters in a row where they get the results that they had this last quarter.
Okay. What about supply chain? That's been a huge struggle, delivering products on time and not having some bare shelves. What is going on there, and how are retailers dealing with supply chain issues?
It's interesting. There's the kind of the macro events. Certainly, imported goods are a challenge right now. And quite frankly, looking at the global tensions right now, that may not get better in the near future. However, everyone then are trying to diversify where they get their product from to not be such at risk if there's a problem in one area. Then there's trucking. So we can get the product, if we can get it into a port, can we truck it across the country to Wisconsin? Those are the big issues. But often the issue that you see in the store is also part of the labor shortage locally. So you may go into a grocery store and find an item not on the shelf. And if you ask around a little bit, you may find out that, yeah, actually they have a trailer of product, but they're having a hard time getting it unloaded to the floor. So to supply chain is from beginning to end a challenge right now.
So I'm hearing supply chain and workforce issues, just having the people in place to do the work as well has been really difficult.
It's very difficult for retailers right now. And again, there's a number of reasons. In an era of pandemic, retail probably does not seem as one of the safest places to work. Mm-hmm. Having said that, a lot of retailers have gone to extremes to try to do what they can to protect, and it seems to work. Now, obviously, hopefully we're on the downhill side of this pandemic, so some of those items might get better pretty quickly.
Jerry, thank you so much for joining us.
I enjoyed the conversation, Kate.
Jerry O'Brien is Executive Director of the Kohl's Center for Retailing Excellence at UW-Madison School of Human Ecology. Just ahead this hour, we talk with a novelist and the director of the Iowa Writers Workshop about her new murder mystery that is set in a fictitious Wisconsin town. It's called Haven. As we explore the experience of Chinese American immigrants. Have you read the book, The Family Chow? What do you want to ask its author? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up. News update is next. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.